TED Audio Collective. This TED Talk features educator Kekenya Natia, recorded live at TED Women 2018.
Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Fidelity Investments. We've all got old things lying around. Listen, if one of those old things is an old 401k, it's time to take care of it. Whether you've recently left a job or you're just making time to get your finances in order, Fidelity can help you explore options for your old 401k. A Fidelity rollover IRA has no account fees or minimums. Plus, you can choose from a wide variety of investments. Learn more about options that may give you flexibility for using your money today and for your future. It's an easy-to-follow rollover process that makes it simple to get started online in under 15 minutes. And just in case you need any help along the way, you'll have access to one of Fidelity's rollover specialists. So why leave that 401k lying around? It's time to make sure you keep your money working as hard as you do. Learn more about a 401k rollover at fidelity.com/rollover. Consider all your options and the applicable fees and features of each before moving your retirement assets. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC. TED Talks Daily is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at Progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
To empower girls, you need to educate them. That was my dream. And so I built a school, and in the process, I learned something much bigger. When you empower a girl, you transform a community. School is just a start. I grew up in rural Kenya in a small village called Enosai. I was the first of 8 children, and I spent my childhood helping my mother cook, clean, farm, and take care of my siblings. Like other Maasai girls, I was engaged from a very young age to be married. But as I reached puberty, I underwent through female genital mutilation, all known as FGM. This picture shows some of the tools that I used to perform FGM on girls. FGM was supposed to mark the end of my childhood and, by extension, my education. But I negotiated with my father in order to stay in school even after going through FGM. Years later, I went to university, and in order to get my community support, I promised to come back one day to repay that support. But years later, when I went back to my village, not much had changed. Girls were still going through FGM, still leaving school, still getting married to men older than their fathers, and still having children like when they're teenagers. I did not want to see any more girl go through that. That's when I knew what I needed to do to give back to my community. I built a school just for girls so that they can be free from FGM and early marriage. At my first enrollment, I had hoped for 10 girls. 100 came. I started to realize just how big this dream was, and soon I learned that my school could be the foundation, but it wasn't going to be enough. So that first year, I enrolled these 30 girls. Some had been abused, others were orphans, and some came from families that were very traditional, that never sent any girl to school. So school started. Though the girls seemed excited to be there, they were having difficulty staying awake. What was going on? They had a teacher, they had books, there was a new classroom on the way, but they were determined to be there. But they had no energy. Then I realized they were hungry. So I quickly found a cook and food. Soon thereafter, I learned that a classroom was not enough. I needed a boarding school. Not only girls were tired and hungry from chores and long walks to school and back home, they were also not safe. It's a sad truth, but girls are often assaulted, raped, and even kidnapped on their way to school. So before a girl could learn math or history, she needed to feel safe. She needed to be rested and be well nourished. So let me tell you about some of my girls. This is Faith. Faith comes from a very traditional family in the community. Her older sister had already been gone through FGM and already married. But Faith was so determined. She really loved learning. And she wanted to come to school, to my school, when she heard about it. So she asked her father, her mother, anyone to bring her to my school. They all refused. Faith did something very brave. She stole an egg from her mother's house, went to the market, sold the egg, and bought a single pencil. Then she walked 5 miles, clutching that pencil, trying to enroll. She arrived tired and hungry, but determined. I listened to her story, and we enrolled her in my school. But getting into my school was just the start. Faith needed food, she needed medicine, she needed counseling, all which we provided. And she also met adults who were ready and believed in her. Supported by this community, Faith was ready to learn. This is Faith, 6 months of schooling. Now she's a happy sixth grader who dreams of becoming a pilot someday. And her family now supports her, and best of all, her younger sisters will follow in her footsteps. Child marriage is expected to cost the global economy trillions of dollars over the next 15 years. We can talk numbers, but in real lifetime, what child marriage will cost my village is the doctor, the teacher, the entrepreneur, and the true partner our men will need in the future. Real ways women can help us lift out of poverty. So, I came to realize once again, as I did when I needed help to go to university, that while I could dream or have a dream, I could not make it come true all by myself. So I went back to the elders who helped me more than a decade ago. I needed their support once again if I was going to be successful. So I formed a community board with religious leaders, parents, and some teachers from other schools. I needed allies in the government, and I needed in the community to help advance my goal. I needed especially the support of the chief to help me enforce the no FGM policy in my school. At first, he was resistant, but I persisted. And now, he's our greatest ally. I also needed the fathers. That brings me to Lynette. Lynette's father, Momboshi, did not believe in the education of girls. In fact, he himself never went to school. But Lynette's mother believed in Lynette and brought her to enroll in my school, and I knew she belonged with us. I just had to find a way to get Momboshi to believe in Lynette too. So I used the pretense of reviewing Lynette's grade to get Momboshi to come. He came, and he started noticing his daughter being promising as a student. With each visit, he built a strong relationship with his daughter, noticing not just her grades, but also accepting her as someone with full potential. So when Lynette was accepted in one of the top national high schools after 8th grade, Momboshi was bursting with pride and went around the village telling everyone how, you know, proud and smart as his daughter was. Can you imagine? He brought Lynette to the new school himself. It was the first time neither of them had ever been to Nairobi. Today, Lynette is studying at university in Australia. And Momboshi is our greatest advocate in the community. I also brought mothers to the table, including my own. That's my mother in one of our training programs. And now mothers are involved in the education of their own children. I also brought grandmothers into the mix. In my community, grandmothers are the proud keepers of our stories and cultures, and I wanted my girls to learn and embrace our rich Maasai culture. Today, grandmothers do story time with the girls, and it's a beautiful way our community remains connected. I also started working with the boys. What would happen if the boys grew up with the same mindset as their fathers before them? I'll tell you, not much will change. So I enlisted the support of an organization called I Am Worth Defending, a group of young progressive leaders led by Alfred and George. Together, we created a training program for boys and girls who could not attend my school, sharing vital information about gender equality, health, and human rights. Today, we have reached over 10,000 boys and girls and counting. It turns out it truly does take a village to make this kind of dream come true. That's what we are seeing today, where nearly 400 girls have not gone through FGM in my village, in a region where nearly 80% of women have been cut. Believe me, these girls, they're sharing their experiences with their sisters, their cousins, and their friends. They are so interested. Over time, this is becoming the new normal, and it's being embraced by the same community, my community. So, what does transform communities mean to Kenya? President Obama visited Kenya in 2015, and he met with representatives from organizations trying to help improve communities. Guess what? He met Lynette! Together, they talked about a Kenya where all girls have same opportunities, where Lynette is a leader, and where communities like Enosine are thriving because its members, all its members, have opportunities. Helping the community see that each daughter is a treasure, every sister is full of potential, and helping every single girl see that value in herself. There is no limit to what that future will cost. Not every girl who comes to my school will be a PhD, but every single one of them will achieve her full potential and will become an advocate for her children and her grandchildren for years to come. Today, my dreams are informed what I've learned from them and what I've learned from you. My journey led me out of Enosine and back again. And in the process, I was embraced by the world. And you have become my village. So I make a new promise to you, my elders, my sisters, and my friends, that I'm going to keep dreaming and keep going until girls like Lynette and Faith achieve their dreams, and I see mine, that all communities give every single woman and every single girl their dreams come true. Thank you.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com.